Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now coverage of the news conference by Republican Senator Pat Toomey and Democrat Joe Manchin to announce a background checks deal. They've been holding a news conference in the last few minutes, and as I mentioned before the break, President Obama was speaking at the same time, announcing a kind of grand bargain budget proposal that he's submitting to Congress. So we will talk about both with Deputy Managing Editor for Politico, Rachel Smolkin. Rachel, thanks very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC today.
Thanks very much for having me.
And let's hear an excerpt from the news conference right off the bat. Here is Republican Senator Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania.
If it passes, what our measure will do, it'll expand background checks to purchases of firearms at gun shows and over the Internet. It would not require record keeping by any private citizens. Now, the fact is, the national law that we have had and Pennsylvania's experience have done nothing to restrict the lawful ownership of guns by law-abiding citizens, and neither will our amendment.
So, Rachel, there's the heart of it right there, right? It expands background checks to purchases at gun shows and over the Internet. It will not require record keeping. We had a caller last hour, a pro-gun caller, who said he would support universal background checks as long as there's not some kind of registration or federal database on who buys guns. So it sounds like they've negotiated that one out. What about private gun sales? If, like, Adam Lanza's neighbor wanted to sell him a gun, would it require Adam to go through a background check?
The fact sheet for this deal stresses that dealer records would help law enforcement trace guns recovered at crime scenes, but person-to-person sales, the so-called friends and neighbors exceptions, would not be subject to a background check. Senator Toomey, in the news conference that just occurred, really portrayed this as he called it, a genuine compromise, taking elements from both sides and trying to meld them together on an issue that people feel so passionate about on both sides to come up with some kind of compromise. And you'll remember this is one piece of that original proposal that President Obama made after the Newtown shooting. The other big pieces of that, the assault weapons ban and the limits on high-capacity magazines, really off the table. They might come to a vote in the Senate, but these are not things that are going to pass. So this was sort of the one remaining big piece that they were trying to get a deal on. It always seemed like the one area they might be able to find some common ground, in addition to some, you know, provisions about mental health or gun trafficking that, you know, is a little easier. But when you talk about really changing the gun laws in this country, this was the area that seemed most likely to find a deal.
And here's another 20 seconds of Senator Toomey.
The bottom line for me is this. You know, if expanding background checks to include gun shows and Internet sales can reduce the likelihood of criminals and mentally ill people from getting guns, and we can do it in a fashion that does not infringe on the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens, then we should do it. And in this amendment, I think we do.
So, Rachel, Senator Toomey is a conservative Republican with a high rating by the NRA. Why is he doing this?
Well, that's a very interesting question, something we're going to continue to report out throughout the day. It's important to remember he's a senator in Pennsylvania, which is a purple state, a state that President Obama did very well in. And that's a state with a lot of different opinions there on guns, but very important to keep an eye on the Philly suburb. Senator Toomey is up for re-election in 2016. He won an open seat in 2010. So he's a conservative. He chaired the Club for Growth, has strong conservative credentials, but he does represent a state that's considered a purple state in our country. So interesting politics, you know, in the background for him, and a question we'll be continuing to report more on throughout the day.
And interesting that the Democrat in this gang of two is also from a very conservative or from probably an even more conservative than Pennsylvania pro-gun state, and that's West Virginia. And let's hear from him, though he is a Democrat. He holds some conservative views, and this is Joe Manchin.
Today is just the start of a healthy debate that must end with the Senate and House hopefully passing these common sense measures and the president signing it into law. Back home where I come from, we have common sense, we have nonsense, and now we have gun sense. And that's what we're talking about. The events at Newtown, truly the events at Newtown changed us all. It changed our country, our communities, our towns, and it changed our hearts and minds.
So similarly, Rachel, why is Joe Manchin stepping out on this? Arguably, he's in an even more vulnerable position next time he's up for re-election than Toomey is on this, because he's in a state that, if I'm not mistaken, voted for Romney, and obviously a very pro-gun state, West Virginia.
Pro-gun state, and his pro-gun credentials actually are what allowed him to have credibility on this issue to negotiate with Toomey. He's not a liberal Democrat, you know, from New York or California. He's someone who is an impassioned supporter of the Second Amendment, who was, hunted himself and has familiarity with all of these issues. He was really an early voice on this issue. You'll remember after the Newtown shooting, he came forward and said that there should be a way to achieve some kind of common sense gun laws in this country. So he has been a very important player on this since the beginning, since the Newtown shootings, when these started to move forward.
Rachel Smolkin from Politico in Washington on the Toomey Manchin background checks gun deal that they announced at a news conference just a few minutes ago. So this is a gang of two, and the last time I looked, there are 100 senators. Does this mean it's going to pass?
No, it's a little early to say that, but it gives it a much better chance than it had previously. We're going to have a very critical couple of days coming up here in the Senate. Senator Reid had said already that he was going to move forward with debate on the legislation. He now has to decide how to incorporate this into the legislation, this new compromise, the new amendment. It's going to be a tough battle still to get anything passed. The Democrats think that they have enough votes to get beyond that 60-vote requirement that they need to even proceed with debate in light of some of these filibuster threats. So they think they can at least get to debate. Whether they can get to passage is a different question. But their hope has always been that if Manchin and Toomey could reach a deal on these background checks, as they now have, that that would give political cover both for some of the more liberal Republicans and some of the more conservative Democrats to support this one piece on background checks. So it definitely, again, we've been talking about the credentials each of these men has and what they bring to the table. They definitely bring a lot in the way of credibility. So the hope among those who want passage is that it brings enough political cover to others who maybe were considering voting on this but really needed something that was a bipartisan compromise in front of them. You know, I will also say the NRA has also come out with a statement saying that expanding background checks at gun shows will not prevent the next shooting, will not solve violent crime, and will not keep our kids safe in schools. So they are not, the NRA is not supporting this deal. We don't know yet how hard they're going to lean into this or, you know, how active they're going to be over the next few days, but they did already release that statement.
Rand Paul and some other senators, as you know, were threatening to filibuster any background check bill. Is it clear whether they'll filibuster this if it comes through as a separate piece of legislation?
I haven't seen any direct reaction, and I don't know that when we say separate piece of legislation, it's all very fluid now as to whether it'll be tacked on as an amendment or what exactly Reid will put on the floor, what the procedure will be. It's important to remember this is a very fluid situation. I don't think we've heard a direct response from those threatening the filibuster since the compromise has been reached, but certainly they made it clear beforehand that they were moving toward a filibuster. That's why this 60-vote margin is critical. Mm-hmm. The Democrats would need 60 votes to even get to debate on this question.
Do you think this gang of two deal, though, indicates that we're nearing the end of the post-Newtown gun regulation debate in the following way, that the Democrats give up on assault weapons bans and big magazine bans and take this, which is probably the most important of the three in terms of public safety, they would probably say, and then move on to other issues?
That's a very good question. President Obama gave a speech earlier this week in Connecticut. It was a very passionate speech, and he used that powerful refrain again from his State of the Union. He said the victims of Newtown, the victims of so many other places deserve a vote. He focused in that speech very much on the background checks. There were mentions of other aspects to this debate, but his focus really was background checks. It's very clear that this is the issue that will be the focal point of the debate. Now, you're going to see some Democrats, like Senator Feinstein, who still want a vote on the assault weapons ban, for example, but that's not expected to pass. It would be shocking if those pass. So the real debate now in the next couple of days is going to take place over this issue of background checks. And it's important to remember they want to get something, the Democrats and President Obama, they want to get something and then be able to move on. There's a lot on the agenda. It's an extremely busy week in Washington. You mentioned that President Obama at the same time was unveiling his budget. Mm-hmm. So he gave that speech. Those remarks, that budget is out today. He's meeting with Republicans tonight, some Republicans at a dinner at the White House. This is second in a series. We'll have to watch and see. So the fiscal debates are happening. Gun debate is happening. And immigration this week is also a big focal point on Capitol Hill. The Gang of Eight saying that they're going to come out with some kind of agreement in the next couple of days, either late this week or more likely early next week.
So let's get to the president's announcement, which took place at the same time. That's kind of rude of Senator Manchin and Senator Toomey to hold a news conference just as the president was making an announcement. That's very unusual, isn't it?
Unusual. I was a little surprised. They waited a few minutes, so the president had a few minutes to himself, but then they did go ahead and start. It was a little surprising, but again, it is a busy week in Capitol Hill, so I have a feeling that everyone's going to move on to the next thing, but we'll have to see if there's any criticism of that comes out.
And so here's one clip from the president's announcement. This is a new grand bargain budget proposal in writing as of today with tax deduction limits, Social Security, and Medicare cuts. Listen.
Both parties, for example, agree that the rising cost of caring for an aging generation is the single biggest driver of our long-term deficits. And the truth is, for those like me who deeply believe in our social insurance programs, think it's one of the core things that our government needs to do, if we want to keep Medicare working as well as it has, if we want to preserve the ironclad guarantee that Medicare represents, then we're going to have to make some changes. But they don't have to be drastic ones. And instead of making drastic ones later, what we should be doing is making some manageable ones now. The reforms I'm proposing will strengthen Medicare for future generations without undermining that ironclad guarantee that Medicare represents. We'll reduce our government's Medicare bills by finding new ways to reduce the cost of health care, not by shifting the cost to seniors or the poor or families with disabilities. They are reforms that keep the promise we've made to our seniors, basic security that is rock solid and dependable and there for you when you need it. That's what my budget represents. My budget does also contain the compromise I offered Speaker Boehner at the end of last year, including reforms championed by Republican leaders in Congress. And I don't believe that all these ideas are optimal, but I'm willing to accept them as part of a compromise.
President Obama, moments ago, Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor of Politico in Washington. Rachel, did he get specific about what tax deductions he would limit?
He got specific on a number of fronts. To Republicans, this is going to sound very much like the same old thing they've heard many times from President Obama. And in fact, the speech that he just gave very much sounded like a campaign speech in many ways. He campaigned on the idea of a balanced approach, as he calls it, to our deficit problems, of raising taxes on the rich. Smokers is one example. You asked for specifics. He wants to increase those taxes. But to frame this case as a middle class.
That's to fund pre-K, right? A new tax on cigarettes to fund.
Pre-K is another important specific. So there are a couple. He's making a case as the middle class against the rich, smokers and the tobacco companies against preschool students. So, you know, definitely framing the debate in that way. You might have heard the term chain CPI. That's one that's gotten very popular in Washington these days and refers to the reduction on the growth of Social Security spending.
So I can hear Robert Reich and Paul Krugman cringing as we were playing
even
that
as we
clip.
Speak,
and we just got 30 seconds left. Does this present a path to yes in the Senate, if not with John Boehner?
Hard to tell at this point. Because it's not new, probably doesn't increase the chances to yes, but still an important moment to actually put chain CPI, potential reduction to Social Security in the president's budget. So a moment worth noting where it gets us not clear.
Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor of Politico. Thanks for keeping us up to date on these two breaking stories from D.C. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Bilingualism and the Brain. We have Sean Lynch, head of the Lycée Français School in New York, and neuroscientist Ellen B. Alistock to talk about the effects of knowing two or more languages on how we think. Stay with us.